We are continuing our series on Jordan Crossing. Jordan Crossing, as we learn some important scriptural lessons. Let us quickly get into the main portion for today's sermon, which is titled Rejections. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 to 27. All together, please, as it is on your sermon notes, let us all read this together, please. It's also projected. You can read it from the projection screen as well. All together, please. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. Please note down the blanks that are there on your sermon notes. I pray, let me cross over to see the good land beyond the Jordan. Enough of that. Speak no more of this to me. And then to the last, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. Interesting. How many of us like to hear an answer no? How many of us like to hear the answer no? Oh, somebody said no. We feel dejected, rejected, whether it is job offers, whether it is marriage proposals, whether it is certain things that we ask someone to do and we get an answer no. Our faces change colors. The way we react to an answer no, we take it so personally and try to do things in order to overcome that rejection and dejection in our lives. Today, may the Lord speak to us through an answer no from God Himself. This particular statement that we have just read from Deuteronomy chapter 3, it's talked by Moses, a man of God. Moses happened to have this particular experience in Deuteronomy chapter 3. By the way, the book of Deuteronomy is the second time. It is the longest kind of a speech that Moses gave. The Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, if you try to read all the three, and then read Deuteronomy, it is like a summary of all that has happened from Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Okay? While I'm sharing this with you, I'm trying to explain the plan of God through the scriptures as well. Till last two sermons, we have meditated upon Abraham and Lot and Jacob and Esau and how the patriarchs, the whole book of Genesis, we try to understand the purpose of the book of Genesis and how God's plan has been fulfilled. Just to give you a continuation of patriarchal hierarchy or the line of people. If you see, we are not going all the way to Adam this time, but we are just starting from Abraham. Abraham, then Isaac. Isaac had two sons, and the chosen one was Jacob. He also called Israel. Sorry, and Jacob had 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and 8 others. And out of the tribe of Levi, the one that we are talking about, Levi had 3 sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Kohath had a son, Amram, whose wife was Jochebed. And Amram and Jochebed had 3 children, Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. And just to draw the line from Moses, how he traces back to Abraham is what I just wanted to give you an understanding. And these 3 children, Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, were part of the things that have happened in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The book of Genesis ends with Joseph. Joseph, how he was taken into captivity into Egypt as a slave. And then there was famine in the land of Canaan. So the entire family of Jacob, they moved to Goshen, a place called Goshen, where in Egypt, where they go and settle for generations together, almost 400 years, that people did not know about this Joseph, who was the ruler of Egypt. And so the Israelites were made slaves. And they were crying out to God, who will deliver us from this bondage? And that is where the book of Exodus begins. And God sends out a person. He said, I will come down and deliver my people. But this time I will make sure that it would be Moses who would be the leader who would deliver them from the land of Egypt. And Exodus means coming out. Exit. Exit. You know, exit. Exodus. Exodus means coming out. A group of people coming out. And that is how the book of Exodus begins. And while they were coming out, I just want to give you this picture. I hope this picture is very clear in our minds now. Dead Sea on the sea on the south and Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. And how is this story going to help us to understand? This is a very detailed picture. I'm not going to go through everything. Otherwise, we will sit here beyond lunchtime. So just want to give you, Goshen is here. This is all Egypt. Goshen and the Israelites in bondage. They travel after the 10 plagues. Finally, the Pharaoh sends them. They let the people go. And then the people leave from Ramesses all the way. They cross the Red Sea. And then they come to all these various places, Mara, Elim, Rephidim. And then there is this Mount Sinai where they receive the law. And then they pass through and they go to a place called Kadesh Barnea, just across the border of Canaan. And at Kadesh Barnea, Moses sends 12 spies to the land of Canaan and find out how they are. And 10 of them come and say, oh, these are giants. We cannot go. Forget it. And then the only two people came and were actually one person, and then another second person comes up and talks about it. It was Caleb followed by Joshua, who tell that this is a wonderful land. And then people were so dissatisfied. Still, they were trying to, God made a judgment on them saying that 40 days will become 40 years. One day, 1 year. For 40 years, you will be wandering in the desert. So they were wandering all the while. The entire period of time is around 40 years here. So in this particular place, Kadesh Barnea, they keep on this dotted line. Is for 38 years almost, they were roaming around in the wilderness, period. They were not able to go back to Egypt. They were not able to go to Canaan. And all in during this time, one generation of people who came out of the land of Egypt 20 years and above died. That was the judgment of God. And the next generation were allowed to get into the land of Canaan. So from here, they pass by, Miriam dies, and then they pass through the Edom, the one which we meditated last time, I think, Moab, Dead Sea, and this is where Mount Nebo is, Mount Pisgah on the right top, is just across the border. Jordan River is right there. Let me just zoom in. Here, you see here, Jordan River. This line is Jordan River, Dead Sea, Jordan River. Right here, Moses was talking to God. Around this particular path in which he was going, probably he was talking to God. And finally, he dies on Mount Nebo, right across the border. Right across the border. Okay? So that is the story that we are going to learn today. And rejection. I try to put this word rejection because most of the time, we love to be accepted. We love to be accepted. Denials, rejections are very, very painful for us. Let me tell you, in the Bible, great people of God, men of God, were given an answer, no. Remember that. Most of the time, we want our answers, prayers answered. When we say answer, prayers answered means yes only. I want yes. That's it. I'm praying to God. God should answer me yes. That is how we keep on saying. Somebody mentioned this. If the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God will say yes. If you are wrong, God says grow. Initially, if everything is right, request is right, timing is right, you are right, God says go. And if you are wrong, God says grow. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. And if the request is wrong or it is not under His will, God says no. Go, grow, slow, no. Those are the various answers God can give. Most of the time, we want only yes. Nothing else. Nothing else matters for us. But let me tell you, there are people in the scriptures who had to go through rejection in their lives. Not from people, but from God. When God says no, what does it mean? So if you read here, back to our portion in Deuteronomy, then I pleaded with the Lord, 23, saying, O Lord God, You have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. You know, through the leadership of Moses, they were able to cross the Red Sea. They were able to cross the Red Sea. Wonderful experiences they had. They were able to experience the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, and they were able to experience manna. Many, many things they have experienced. Moses took them over. For 40 years, he was as a prince of Egypt. For 40 years, he was learning in the wilderness. And the remaining 40 years, he was leading these people. And he was praising the Lord, saying, "Oh, you are great God, your mighty hand. What God is there in heaven and on earth? Who can do anything like your works and deeds?" Verse 25, notice this carefully. The first thing that you want to note down here in your sermon notes, request. It started with a request. Typically, the word no comes when there is a request, there is a requisition that went in, for which there is a response that comes, right? So the request first we see here, I pray, verse 25, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. He had a desire. He had a desire to cross the Jordan River. Jordan crossing is our series. God told people to cross. And people ran away crossing the Jordan River like Jacob. God told them to return. On their return, they crossed Jordan. Now there was this man of God, Moses, who was pleading with God. It says in verse 23, I pleaded with the Lord. He was just, I can't imagine the kind of tone or the attitude in which he was praying that prayer. I pleaded with the Lord. Let me tell you. He was pleading with the Lord. I pray, he said in verse 25, let me cross over this Jordan to see the good land beyond the river, beyond the Jordan. So note down in your notes. What was his request? His request was to cross Jordan, to enter, to see the promised land and the mountains. That was his desire. Why? Because he came all the way. He left his riches. He left everything, it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He did not consider them at all useful. He left everything, went and took care of the people of Israel. And he was the one under his leadership. They were brought out of the land of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, passed through the wilderness for 40 years. He was leading them. When he is leading it, now he is pleading God. The leader is pleading now. What is going on in his life? A man of God, one who knew how to be able to have a constant communion with God. What was going on? He was pleading with God. Please let me cross Jordan. Jordan crossing was so important in his life. He felt the necessity of Jordan crossing. His purpose was to enter into the land. It's like, you know, to fulfill the goal. You've started it. Let me finish it. Let me enter into the land of Canaan. All the way I brought them over. God, it would have taken a few days, but you made us roam around for 40 years for this people's sake. Second one. Note it down in your notes. Response. What was God's response? Verse 26. The Lord was angry with me on your account. And he would not listen to me. Man, notice this. A prayer, a pleading that is going on. It says in verse 26, Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Oh, you've been praying. Enough, stop it. Stop praying about this matter. Imagine you are told that for something, some request that you've been asking. God, I want this. I've been praying to you. Lord, can I have this? Suddenly you hear God speaking to you through his word. Enough of it. Speak no more of this matter. Enough. Don't talk. No more conversations here. Stop. Time out. Oh, you've been praying daily. Yes, I understand. But I'm telling you, my answer is no, period. That's what he says. Enough of that. Oh, I tell you, most of the time when we have prayer meetings, it's always a positive approach. God will answer our prayers. God will say yes. God will take care of all our needs. Oh, everything is, green pastures across. Oh, all we need to do is pray, pray, pray. There are answers, let me tell you. As children of God, those who have believed Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we need to be prepared for an answer no from God. We need to be prepared. Enough of that. So what did God answer here? Speak to me no more of this. Matter settled here. Verse 27. All I'll do, allow you to do is, verse 27, go up to the top of Pisgah. Lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. Period. Again, if you start praying again, no point. I'm not going to listen to you. Stop praying. Enough of this matter. Because I have made the done deal? No. The answer is no. It's a very, very tough situation that Moses was going through. Not only as a child of God or a person who had a constant personal relationship with God, but also as a leader. It was not easy in front of the people. Having led the people all the way, now not being allowed to enter into the Jordan, crossing the Jordan to enter the land. So note it down in the response, God's response. No crossing Jordan. Simple. No crossing Jordan. Only see from Mount Nebo or Pisgah. Where is that? On the east of Jordan. The land of Canaan is on the west of Jordan. Remember the stories that we have been meditating upon. So he remained on the east of Jordan. All God said was, you can go up to the top of Mount Pisgah. Lift up your eyes. You can see from a distance. From a distance you can see. So near, yet so far. So near, yet so far. Oh God, just cross the Jordan River. I can go there. Na? Just allow me to cross the river. No, only you can see it. That's it. That was God's response. That's what we read here. Interestingly, let's understand what was the reason behind this rejection. Let's understand the reason behind this rejection. Numbers chapter 20. As I told you, this book of Deuteronomy is more or less like a summary of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, because he is telling it the second time, or some people say second law, but it is the same thing Moses was regurgitating, or he was repeating, he was re-emphasizing Numbers chapter 20. This particular story is talking about the waters of Meribah. It says in verse 20, the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, chapter 20, verse 1. The whole congregation came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and people stayed at Kadesh Barnea. Remember the map that I showed you, where they wandered around. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. So he had some family issues. He lost his sister. Okay? There was no water for the congregation. Already he has his family problems. Now he has a congregation problems also. What are the problems? No water. Okay, for the congregation. And they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. Aaron was always a person who used to be with Moses, because God made Aaron to be his mouthpiece, to be, go along with him. And Aaron's rod was also very unique. It budded. There was many things that Aaron had an equal role in being able to be a leader along with Moses. The people thus contended with Moses and said, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. This is the next generation. The first generation already perished. And now the next generation is also complaining. If only we have done that. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of the meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, listen to this carefully. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation. Notice this. Speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water, You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. This is the second time it happened. Exodus chapter 17 talks about another incident, similar incident that has happened. You can go back and refer to it later on, Exodus chapter 17 also. The first generation of people also were thirsty, and they wanted water. At that time, God said, strike the rock once, and you'll get water. Done with it. Now the second generation has come. What did the second generation? They go, they also make the same kind of complaints. No water, no water. So every generation is going through water scarcity. Okay? So now what happened? Second generation came. Moses, what did he do? They came into the presence of the assembly. Presence of the assembly of the doorway, the tent of God. They wanted to talk to God. Lord, this time what should we do? Last time it happened like that. This time what should we do? Did they go out of a regular thing that whenever people ask a question, they used to go and talk to God? But this time, God said, take the rod. I'm not saying don't take the rod. But notice this, verse 8. Speak to the rock before their eyes. Notice this very carefully. Speak to the rock before their eyes. People are watching. People are watching. You speak to the rock. Very clear instructions that God gave. Then what happened? Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he commanded him. Oh, okay. You wanted me to take the rod? Okay, I took the rod. Second, what should I do, God? Speak to the rock. And then verse 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. Before the rock. Rock is right there. And he said to them, what was he supposed to do? Take the rod? Speak to the rock. What did he do? Take the rod? Speak to the people. What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to speak to the rock. He spoke to the people, verse 10, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. He was so angry, let me tell you. That is something that each and everyone should be cautious of anger. Whatever kind of a responsibility you have at home or at church or any other places, anger has no place, especially in terms of dealing with the things of God. If God lets it to do with the righteous anger, that is different. But here, what did he do? God didn't tell him to speak this way. He said, you rebels. They may be rebellious. No doubt about it. But you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Shall we bring forth water out of this rock? Notice this. Out of anger, sometimes we don't know what we speak. Later, after your anger is cooled down, you'll say, oh, I shouldn't have spoken like that. I shouldn't have spoken like that. How many times it happened in our lives that out of anger we spoke things that we were not supposed to speak? Doesn't matter whether it is with our spouses or children or parents or anyone for that matter. How many times we are angry? Angry to the extent of speaking things that we are not supposed to. God wanted Moses and Aaron to speak to the rock in front of their eyes. That's all God told him to do. What was he doing? Verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly in the congregation of the beasts. The result happened. But what happened to Moses? Notice this. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron. Aaron also was equally responsible because he was like a mouthpiece that was always going along. I don't know what Aaron must be doing. When Moses was saying, you rebels, Aaron must be standing beside him. Yes. He might be doing that. We don't know. But God had to deal with both Moses and Aaron. It says in verse 12, notice this very carefully. Very sad story. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. What did I tell you? Speak to the rock in front of their eyes. You did not believe that if you speak to the rock, that I'll give water. First time you struck the rock, water came out. Now a next generation has come. The principle is obey my commandment. The methods could change. Generation after generation, principles will not change, but methods could change. In the first generation, it was striking the rock. In the second generation, speaking to the rock. Moses thought, I'm past, I'm of the old generation. Last time when I struck it, came out, na? This time I'll strike it twice. It was out of anger he did it, my dear, let me tell you. Or just out of anger. He went and struck the rock twice. And what happened? Now God is saying, you have not believed me. You did not believe that if you speak to the rock that I'll give water. And you did not treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. Man, I tell you. God was so concerned because he wanted to show himself holy, sanctified God in front of the people. And Moses and Aaron did not do that. They took it into their own hands. They started shouting out. He started striking the rock with twice and all that. Rock, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in that it says that rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. The first time the rock was stricken. The Bible says he was stricken for our iniquities. He died for us once and for all. Done with it. And the second time when you are going to Christ, you speak to him. You talk to him. You pray to him. You show for in front of everyone that the rock can hear my prayer. Who is that rock? Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When you speak to that rock, the presence of Jesus, that rock was Christ. It's not my interpretation here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you read it, it will say, spiritual rock, that rock was Christ. And we are supposed to pray or speak to the rock. How wonderful it would have been if they had spoken to the rock. Instead, he went ahead and struck the rock, not once, twice again, hitting him again and again. We have a Christ who was stricken for us. He died for us. He rose again to live forever. My rock liveth. My rock lives. Something that you and I should recognize here. It is a living rock, my dear. The living rock, we need to speak. Psalm chapter 18 verse 46 says, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. The rock that lives, to whom I can speak. The one who intercedes on my behalf as well. But here we notice that what was the reason? Note it down in your Bibles. The reason was God said, speak to the rock. But what did he do? He struck twice. And God's response to that was, you did not believe to treat me holy. Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19, verse 12. Notice this carefully. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You will not bring this people into the land. You will not cross the Jordan, in other words. You might want to see it, okay? But you will not do that. Why? It was a strict judgment of God where there was no, Lord, please, okay, can you forgive me? I'm really sorry. I have done this. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have been angry. Many things would have happened. God is a God who is a gracious God. Nowadays, we are experiencing the grace of God much more than ever before. But Moses, he was dealt with. That's it. Enough of it. Speak no more of this matter. No, period. That's it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3. What was the reaction of Moses? What was the reaction of Moses? It's a very important thing that we should learn. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, we read from 23 to 27. That was not the end of the God speaking. He said in verse 27, you shall not cross over this Jordan. Verse 28, but charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of this people. He will give them an inheritance, the land which you will see. God told, you will not cross the Jordan, but charge Joshua, strengthen him, encourage him. Then what happened? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 1. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. Listen to this carefully. Important things, very important lessons. Verse 2, he said to them, I am 120 years old today. Maybe it was his birthday, I don't know. He specifically said, I'm 120 years old today. Or as of today, I don't know. I'm 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. What was his reaction? He said, I'm a leader. What is God? Why is God doing like that? He didn't try to go down discouraged and go sleep off or eat a lot, feeling disappointed, unable to handle his own self. No. He was bold enough to tell God said no. He was bold enough to say God said no. My dear, can we be that way? Oh, I prayed this prayer. God said no. Can you say that? Very difficult. We try to find ways to cover up ourselves. This has happened. That is why this has happened. Or this, no. He didn't give any reasons here in this particular statement that he said. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. No Jordan crossing for me. But in verse 3, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. Wow, what a wonderful statement that is. It is not me. Don't look at me. Guys, don't look at me. It is the Lord who will cross ahead of you. Who else do you want? You have God as your leader. Verse 3. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. You shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord had spoken. The word Joshua means Jehovah saves. The Lord will cross over. And the way in which the Lord will cross over ahead of you is through Joshua. The one who is a representation and the Old Testament symbolism of Jesus. He will go. Don't look at man. Don't look at man. The Lord himself will cross over. What a wonderful way in which he reacted. Note it down, his reaction. He accepted the rejection. I think this is very important. Are we ready to accept a no from God? Are we ready to accept a rejection in our lives? Many times we may have gone through many rejections. Whatever is the trials that you have made. You tried this, you didn't get it. They say, oh Lord, I've been praying about this. Why? What is this? I'm not able to get it. Oh, I'm totally dejected. Oh, maybe there's something going on in my life. Yes, there could have been something going on in your life. There could be n number of reasons why God said no. It could be because of your personal issue. It could be because God had a better plan for you. It could be many other things. We need to be able to accept God's will in our lives, period. When God says no, yes, Lord, I accept your will in my life. And then what do? I'm going to get out of this place. No. What did he do? He encouraged Joshua. He encouraged the other people, said, I'm not able to go. You go. When you go, make sure if you read this particular last council, it says chapter 31, he gives them instructions. Don't go after the gods of the land of Canaanites. Stand for God. God is taking you to the promised land. You live for him. What a wonderful final message or farewell speech that he had spoken. And then Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. The death of Moses. Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. Jericho is on the other side of Jordan. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, Naphtali, land of Ephraim, Manasseh, that they are going to get. Hey, you know, this tribe is going to get this land, this land, this land. Moses, just see, that's all. Just see. And then the Lord said to him, verse 4, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there again and again. God, you've been telling me over and over again, don't go, you're not going to go, you're not going to go. What did Moses do? He saw that if you have been to the Middle East, to the Jordan, you must have stood at Mount Nebo and seen how Moses would have seen Jordan. Some of us have been there. My mom and others have been there. They have taken pictures. I remember my dad taking a picture at Mount Nebo as well, saying from here is Jericho, Jordan, and all that. There's a big map in front of that mountain, Mount Pisgah. Verse 6, he buried him in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, and no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 180 years old, he died. His eye was not dim. Notice this. Reward. Please write down reward, the last one. What is the reward? His reaction enabled him to have a better reward. And that reward was his eyes were not dim. 120 years old, probably no cataract, no glasses, nothing. Otherwise, it won't be clearly written. Because from a distance, he has to see. Oh, Lord, I'm 120 years old. I can't see it. Can you please take me nearby? No. I said, no. But if you want to see it, I'll give you good, clear eyes, vision. Perfect vision I'll give you. You see from here only. So his eyes were not dim, nor his vigor abated. His vigor, I tell you, he went up and down the Mount Sinai multiple times for the sake of the people of God. Multiple times. Read through Exodus. Not once. You think it's only once he climbed the Mount Sinai. He climbed multiple times. He had the strength as a 120-year-old man. And there was another reward God gave him that is recorded in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Interesting, wonderful. Verse 1, let me read it carefully. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Notice this, verse 3. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. The Mount of Transfiguration. Moses could not enter into the promised land, but God enabled him in that promised land on the Mount of Transfiguration. God let Moses and Elijah meet with Jesus and have a conversation. The way in which Moses accepted the rejection from God and said, Lord, I understand. That's fine. May your will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. Rejections doesn't mean that God will not reward you for accepting those rejections. God has a plan and a purpose in our lives. So please note it down in the reward. I know I haven't written eyes were not dim. That was also a reward in a way. But there was an ultimate reward where he could see Jesus, talk to Jesus face to face on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Promised Land. The west of Jordan. The Mount of Transfiguration. What a wonderful experience this is. Oh my dear, how are we dealing with Jordan crossing? Remember this place on the top, right top, Pisgah, Mount Nebo? I just got reminded of a song last night and I thought I will share that. If possible, I know it's a change. We could sing that song during offertory as well. It says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may thy consolations share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Maybe you have sung this song umpteen number of times, but this is related to the story that we have just meditated upon, Mount Pisgah, where Moses was not allowed. He was able to just see from a distance. Crossing Jordan is a representation of end of life on this earth to be able to be for eternity in the ultimate promised land in heaven. It is a symbolic representation of that, and the songwriter wrote that in that sense, saying, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home. I'm on this earth. God has prepared a place for me. I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, the reward that I'm going to get, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Rejections really resulted in rewards. Oh my dear, how are we handling with rejections in our life. There are many other people in the scriptures. There's no better example than Jesus Christ himself. He prayed a prayer, "Father, if it is under your will, take this cup away from me." Did God do that? No. Second time he said, "If I have to take it, may your will be done." He accepted God pretty much saying, "No, you have to drink from that cup. You have to drink from that cup." And the reward? Glorious reward. That reward has come to us where Jesus, he died for us on the cross of Calvary. He took the cup of wrath, cup of suffering for our sake, which initially said, "If possible, let this cup away from me." He died for us on the cross of Calvary in order to give us eternal life, everlasting prize. What a wonderful experience that is. My dear, there are many lessons we can learn from people of God. You're not alone. I'm not alone when we go through rejections in our life. Take it as a stepping stone towards rewards. How we react to those rejections makes us what we are. Our faith is tested in our trials, adversities, and denials. "I've been asking God, let this thorn be taken away from me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord." And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." It's pretty much saying, live with it. Live with that thorn in the flesh. It's pretty much saying, "God, enough of it. Speak to me no more. Deal with it, but I'll reward you. I will reward you." What a wondrous way in which God rewarded. Apostle Paul, great man of God. We are all blessed because of his life and the thorns he went through in his life. Maybe your sufferings, your rejections are not only a reward for you, but a blessing for somebody else. Take it as from the Lord, my dear. Be encouraged. And also, be so much challenged to stand for God in spite of rejections that we come across in our lives. Be prepared. Not that God will always say no. Please don't consider that. God knows when to say yes. Remember? God knows when to say no. Slow. Grow. Go. He can say anything. So be prepared for all of them. May the Lord bless this word.